This is Notes from a Native Daughter. I am Sol Daniela. My guest today is Claudia Norman. Claudia Norman is a cultural and creative worker, a cultural and creative leader, I'd say a cultural and creative attaché. And she is the founder and executive director of Mexico Now Festival. And I am delighted that she has given me this time to speak about art and exchange and love and dance. And welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to sharing my experience with you. Thank you so much for inviting me. This is a real honor and pleasure.
Gracias, Claudia. So I was telling you before we started speaking that I learned about you that you came to New York for a trip and you found someone you loved and you stayed. And I found that so beautiful because I was thinking of this, you know, arid, difficult time we're in, and maybe some of the questions that people have about people that come to this country are the reasons why we come here for, why we stay. And there's so many, and yours is one of these pure reasons that people migrate and travel because of love. And I congratulate you on that.
Thank you. I guess you just do that once in life and when you were very young. So Yes, I did that. I was actually I was finishing college in Mexico City when my then boyfriend, now husband, he decided to pursue his career in as a composer in New York. So he moved to New York, and we split up. So some months after that, I planned a trip with my friends, my three dear friends. And, you know, that type of trip that you do with your girlfriends. Mm-hmm. And so you have to go to New York and conquer the world. Mm-hmm. Is that age that you are conquering everything. So we came, and I have the chance to see again Carlo. So when we saw each other, it was again like love at first sight. And then while the trip was, we were visiting museums and all that, and one day he invited me to dinner, and he said to me a beautiful thing. It was like, I don't have anything to offer you but my love, so let's share life and let's let's be together. So after that, I've been here for the last 27 years. So I moved 27 years ago to New York. And so once I was here, I have just left Mexico. I was at college in Mexico studying Latin American studies. So, and I decided to, to find out, once I made a life decision, what will be my professional decision me here in New York. And then I found this this amazing career, which 27 years ago was something very new, which is called arts administration. Mm-hmm. So after doing a lot of community work on my first years, adapting to the new city and the winter time and learning English, because I spoke like almost nothing. So I decided that I was ready to go back to school. I made the decision not to have an academic career, but to have more this career, which was more hands-on, organizing, producing. And so it's when I started doing my career on arts administration.
Mm-hmm. Right. So to go back. I mean, you came for this trip to conquer New York, and you did, Claudia Norman. Yeah. In a sense, you have. You know, you are. You're like, you know, a legend. You've worked so hard. I mean, you've given so much of yourself to culture and to Mexico and to Latin America. I mean, it's so beautiful. And so in your travels, what are some of the things that I guess have just, have you found things that have like shaped you, shaken you, changed you?
The way I work in the arts, and so I kind of have like three different jobs within the arts. One is as curator. Mm-hmm. So when I work as curator, I basically, because of my immigrant experience, you are always thinking about, you know, oh, I should share this with my new friends. This should be here. So when I travel, and I usually travel to festivals, to cultural festivals. So I basically go not with the eyes of a curator, but I go with an eyes of an audience, you mm-hmm. know, like mm-hmm. a regular mm-hmm. Art lover. And then everything that really, I've been traveling for a long time to a lot of places, and usually things that they really impact, I mean, like make a huge impact on me, are the things that I think if they have such a huge impact on me, it should be probably the best thing to share with the audiences in New York. So mm-hmm. that's kind of like my point of departure when I'm thinking about curating. What is missing here in New York? What is, you know, New York being a place that is a lot of demand for attention, for people's attention.
Yeah.
There is so much offer and so much extraordinary offer that you really have to be looking for something unique, something different. So those are kind of like my point of departure. So going back to your question, I think like in trips like that have a huge impact in terms of the artists that I have seen. I have to say that in each country, I had found something unique, amazing that needs to be,
featured somehow.
Yeah. So I can tell you that when I went to Argentina, I found like an amazing project that was a huge impact, and as a result, I presented here in New York. When I went to Chile, same thing happened. So it's been this work. I've been doing it for the last almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. So every time that I go, I go looking for that. So it would be, it's a very hard question in terms of like listing things, because I think all of them had been amazing for me. Yeah. And they had been like great experiences. Maybe like later on the conversation, I mean, I can just mention some of them, but right now on the top of my head is like mm-hmm. yeah. everything comes right. together.
That's the right answer. I totally agree with you. I'm glad you answered like that. I get it. It's just so beautiful. I mean, you have such a privileged, you've created such a privileged vantage point for yourself in terms of your career and how you've been able to administer culture and arts in the city and bring audiences to the work that is commendable, you know. And y una de las I guess questions is the challenges, I guess, 20 years ago compared to now. Are there differences or similarities?
No, it's exactly the same. I think the challenges are the same. Is basically introducing new work for New York audiences has been kind of like the type of work that I do. And the challenge is the same year after year. So I guess throughout the process is always had been from the, you know, budget-wise, there is always very difficult to find supporters to that they can sponsor something that they don't know, that they don't, that they are not familiar. The way sponsorship works here, and the way many partnerships work here, is they want to make sure that they are spending money in something that is huge, successful, and they don't want to take any risks. So I'm a risk taker by nature. Mm-hmm. So that has been a challenge through mm-hmm. all these years. But at the same time, that has been the rewards. I mean, the people that I've been able to create a trust on presenters, on sponsors, mm-hmm. because they know that the risks that I've been taking are based on a human intuition mm-hmm. that is going to work, yeah. you know?
Yeah.
So, and at the beginning was harder, but still, you know, because there is no way to say, oh, you know, this new group that I'm coming, or this new project that I'm creating, inviting artists from different backgrounds to do something that never has done before, mm-hmm. is going to work fantastic. So that has been my challenge, and in a way, source and my force of keep doing what I do. You know, it's like I've been following my instincts, and so far I've been right. So the challenge is always, when you talk about presenting international artists, is who's going to pay for the airfares. So airfares have always been very expensive. Bringing somebody from South America, I'm talking about South America, like Chile or Argentina or Brazil, is always super expensive, and it has been expensive. And with thought that would be like probably the prices will be coming down, but you know, it's we live in a life where mm-hmm. every year, every day, everything is more expensive. There is nothing that has been on the other direction. So the challenge is the same, but at the same time, the commitment becomes bigger, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So is for instance, airfares is one of the big challenges. Another big challenge is visas. So visas has always been an issue with the Democrat government, with not Democrat government. So it's always been an issue and a challenge to invite unknown artists in the U.S. to tour the U.S. So that's another challenge. And then I think those are like based on the nature of my work, which is to present international work in New York. Mm-hmm. Those, I think, are two major challenges. And they had been the same. That those are the constant challenges for anyone working on international arts. So that's the mobility of international arts. That's the challenge, and that's pretty much I learned very early on of on the risks, but at the same time of responsibility, you know, that we have been the only ones taking it, you know, even on the worst times, like right now, I can tell you that I'm, as we speak, I'm involved in on their like different positions per se, mm-hmm. not as a curator, as mm-hmm. a producer, as a tour manager, as a marketing consultant. Is like all the work that I'm doing this spring mm-hmm. is related with international artists, mm-hmm. and as we all know, these are like a very difficult time about that, and we are doing, we are not like stopping or anything. We are doing and working on bringing artists from South America. I'm working on promoting artists from the Middle East. So right now, my commitment in an answer to these times is mm-hmm. to keep doing and more than ever to support international arts.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, art is our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
A vehicle to communicate.
But you know, to me, the most important part, which is like it goes with the entertainment portion of like seeing a great concert. To me, the most important part is the educational component. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have the opportunity to mm-hmm. see the best, I don't know, cuatro player from Venezuela or the best bandoneon player from Uruguay or, you know. So when you have the chance to just enjoy that concert, but through that concert, you are able to learn about that part of the world and maybe understand your neighbors here, you know, so it brings you more elements for you to understand the beauty about New York. To me, that's the beauty about being here. I mean, making the decision to come to New York, it was difficult. I mean, obviously, I was moved by love, but also
when by opportunity.
An opportunity, totally, and that has been something that, like, every time that I go to see a Chinese opera or a sitar concert, I'm learning about that region of the world. I'm learning about that culture, and I'm learning about my friends who are keep telling me about their experiences growing up in this on those countries. So. It's to me is not about like bringing excellency and all that and that's it. To me is that you go back home after that concert and you learn about what happened. So for instance, when we produced this concert was with the idea to introduce the Violeta Parra, an icon of Latin American music, but also was an opportunity to introduce like the Chilean music scene from the folkloric music. I'm talking about music that it was played during the exile, during the dictatorship in Chile, talking about charangos, quenas, you know, that sound to up to the most contemporary sounds like Ana Tijoux, which she does hip hop. So the idea was to see how like an important iconic figure, La Violeta Parra, has been transformed and influence and inspire like three or four generations of musicians there. So in one concert, people were able to listen to and see live performance of charango and these quenas and pan flutes that are so beautiful from the Andean folk music to, you know, an icon on the Spanish-speaking world doing protest song in the format of hip hop. So it was a journey. It was you know, a travel through the history of a place that was reflecting of it, and is reflecting not only what's going on in Chile in history, but like really what happened in Latin America and then back in the 70s and now, you know. So to me, having the way I thinking about, oh, this would be so important to bring to New York, this is beautiful, is also for people to learn more about that like style of music or that type of choreographer, because you know, contemporary dance also has been crucial in Latin America, and we know so little here, you know. So commissioning works by new choreographers, so it's a way of sharing knowledge, mm-hmm. you know. And giving people more elements for them to understand the beauty of New York, you know, and how lucky we are to live in a multicultural city and to have access every single day to everything, mm. you know. I mean, the subway is to me like a museum, you yeah. know, like a music museum. I mean, yeah. you yeah. hear, you see yeah. everything. So, yeah. and we, as New Yorkers, we don't have time to listen. We don't stop to look at the instrument, an instrument that you in your entire life had seen in your life. You don't have time to even ask, where are you from? You know?
Yeah.
I just keep going. Everybody's busy. So, doing programming that is bringing those elements for people to learn, to enjoy, to get excited, you know. I think at the same time, having access to everything right there, you know, that you can grab it right there, is like New York is like, oh, I don't get surprised by anything, you know. So it's like, that's the tough audience, you know, when you are putting together a concert, is how you introduce that to grab people's attention. You know, how do you manage to be the, I mean, when you open your calendars of events, yeah. you know, like the offers, the cultural offers of the city, how do you, which strategy or how you can manage to have people's attention and choose from the 10 events happening the same day at the same time in the different parts of the city. How is that you manage to have people's attention in the event that you are related to,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that is like
monumental.
Yeah, that is huge. And it's when it has to go back to be an organic and a kind of like passionate way of putting it in there, you know, in a way people have to see that is not only about ticket sales and about, you know, Grammys or anything, but it's about living and gaining a live experience, you know.
It's about learning, integration, understanding.
Totally. And also because now with the technology, I mean, you don't need to travel if you don't want. You can go and, you know, start spending a couple of hours on YouTube videos and here and there and learn. But the point is that live performances has to keep happening, you know. That's why going back into the big challenges of traveling and visas, you know, because we have to save the live experience, you know. We have to be able to go. It's like going to a museum. You can have the best books on that artist or seeing the pictures on internet, But the experience of going to see the painting at the museum is totally different. You know, you have the opportunity to feel totally different. Same with music. You can have the best live concerts on internet and watch them, and it's great and all that. But being at the theater or at the big stadium, feeling and feeling what the others are feeling, because that is a way, like you are saying, it's a way to connect, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty of the work that I do and that I love to do, is to connect, you know. That's in a way, that's in somebody else asked me, like, how do you define what you do, and is when this definition came, like a cultural matchmaker, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like you know, so is that's part of the work that I do as well, is not just curate, but then how you connect to people, how you build you know, that connection to the audience, to a community.
Are you optimistic of the present time?
Yeah, I am totally. You know, I think culture have survived. It's the only thing that survives. You know, it's not about the legacy of a single person, but it's about the power of people creating new things, believing in things. But this is about it's about community, you know. So and as I think that the way of going, I'm very optimistic. I think it's going to be a wake up call for everyone, and I think this is the time where we all have to really go back and start working, you know, and keep working. In my case, as I mentioned to you, it's not going to be tougher. It's going to be as tough as always has been, you know. Getting funding for the arts has been always a problem. Focusing on Latin America or in Africa or, you know, Middle East has been always a challenge in the history of this country. And if in New York, it's always been a challenge. Mm-hmm. And I think we are a couple of stubborn people that challenges is for us our gasoline to keep working. You know, the bigger the challenge, the more we have to do, and the more we will be working and reaching out and trying always to create partnerships. You know, the work that I do is based on partnerships. There is no way I have been able to achieve all the things that I have achieved without collaboration. You know, I'm very very lucky to have a lot of people that support my work, mm-hmm. and a lot of people like you are doing this right now. It's a way, like a priceless way of supporting my work, by letting people know that we are a couple of crazy people out there that we're going to keep, and we are optimistic about that the work that we do is going to continue the same in terms of goals, but in terms of intensity, is going to be more intensive because we have to just make sure that people don't forget about this, you know?
Yeah.
So
the struggles.
So I think it's, working doing international presenting international work in New York has been always a challenge, and now it's going to continue. So I'm optimistic. I have done it before, and I think I'm going to be able to keep doing it, you know. And I hope more than anything, I hope I can, you know, people can listen to this and get inspired and not stop what they are doing, you know, because the fact that you are listening to the podcast is because you are connected at some point and interested on the work that we do, and we all have to work together.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We must survive, and we will. And the strength in numbers is important, and the understanding that culture holds us and is a way of communication is absolutely primordial for survival, you know?
Definitivamente, sí. Es primordial y necesario. It's needed. So if we don't do it, somebody else will do it. So that's, to me, that's, I'm optimistic and I'm calm in a way that knowing that we will, out there, there is always people doing that. And you see all the time there is like initiatives, and New York is so inspiring for like all the new generation coming up. There is all these new places, these new bands, new things, you know. People are finding their ways to express their voice and to share their culture, their background, you know. So there is always, you know, we have seen that, you know, the neighborhoods get gentrified, but, you know, hey, so there is a new neighborhood where the artists move or the new immigrants arrive and create a vibrant part of the city where gentrification comes after that, you know, and then we will find a new place, you know. So that's something that is, to me, I'm optimistic because as far as we are alive, culture is going to be alive, you know. There is no way to stop a culture to evolve and to be shared. There is no way.
Qué lindo. Gracias, Claudia.
No, gracias. Gracias a ti. And thank you for sharing your space and estar en la lucha.
Ahí seguimos.